Always a pleasure to welcome our Monday and Friday regular guest, Brother Johnny, who is in Philo, Illinois, the center of the universe. Johnny!
Hey, TVJ.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy, a man who will be at the White House a week from today with the 85 Bears. Mike, are you in Chicago?
I am.
Great to have you on, Mike. Dan Hampton says he's not going to the White House. Johnny and I think you are right down the middle saying, hey, it's the players, it's all about them, it's an honor.
Well, it's about the players, really. I mean, it's 26 years after the fact. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but I think it's nice for them, and I think it's nice to be honored, and I wish Dan would have won, I really do, but he made up his mind not to go, and I understand that.
He said, get over it, it's 25 years ago. I mean, hey, there was such an iconic team. Everybody loved the 85 Bears, Mike.
Well, I don't know if everybody did. I mean, probably a few didn't.
That's great. I think it's an American tradition, and it is quite an honor. Congratulations, Mike. I think you'll have a lot of fun.
It's not an American tradition.
I think it is. Don't the winners go to the White House usually?
I never went when I won with the Cowboys.
No.
Maybe it's not.
Well, if you'd have gone, Richard Nixon would have had it on tape, darn it.
Whether it's political or not, it doesn't much matter. You know, they're honoring these guys, and these guys have a right to have their day in the sun. They didn't get it. They have a right to do that. Now, those who want to go, go. Those who don't want to go, don't go. I'll be there. I'll be there with representing, I'll be there as part of the Bears, with the organization.
I tell you what, Mike, you still, and people just are amazed, you look great. I mean, you look great on television. You just look great. I mean, whatever you're eating, keep it up.
Yeah. I don't know what that means for a real old guy, it looks like, but thank you. I appreciate it.
No, I mean it. I really do. So we'll have to figure out timing of everything because next Friday morning we'll want to call you. You might have to end the phone to Barack Obama. Say, hey, Mr. President, we have a few questions back in Champaign, Illinois. Anyway, it is a great honor.
I think the flight's leaving at 8:30, guys.
It's 8:30.
8:30.
So, all right.
Which is 8:30, which is with 7:30 to 8, I should be okay.
All right. Well, that'll be good. We'll address that next Thursday when I call you, and we'll figure that out. It's awesome. But, again, it's great, and we're happy that most of the team, I think, will be there that's able to be there. All right, let's get right to the headlines this morning. The president has suggested America's gotten a little soft, and I can't say I disagree.
Well, I don't know. Soft in what? I mean, just about everything.
I think everything. I mean, we're just not as tough as our parents and grandparents. We expect more for doing less.
Well, there's no question about that. There's no question about that. He's right about that.
Well, and that's just from an increased quality of life. I mean, that's what our grandparents and parents have worked for to make things easier for us. Maybe it's almost too easy now, but it's an easier life, and I think people expect it to be easier, and I think people aren't ready to take the hard times like we used to. We were a lot tougher, it seems like. 50 years ago, we just could fight through times. It's harder for us emotionally now when things go wrong, maybe.
Well,
maybe that's where we're soft.
I think the big complaint is that the Nintendo isn't working, the PS3 is broken, so, we're not connected to the Internet. It's a different set of issues, I mean, right now with what we consider really to being deprived.
Well,
yeah.
As a country, we've decided to take the easy way out, in a lot of areas. And if you don't want to work, we'll help you, stuff like that. The American dream, and if you go back to the generations that came over from Europe and all over the world and built this country into what it was, what was called the Great Melting Pot, I mean, it was a badge of pride to have a job, to get a job, to do your job. It's not that anymore, guys. I'm sorry. Just not that anymore. Because if you don't do that, then the government will help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, and I think that's right. I think the first thing you do as a human is you look for food and shelter. And it used to be that you had to earn that, and now maybe you're expected to get that. You're entitled to that, and so you take things like that for granted, and you're not going to be as tough when you don't have to fight for food and shelter because you expect to get it. And you, in America right now, mostly you get it. So we're softer. I agree with the president.
All right.
I don't know how you could argue that point.
And to a very smack-in-your-face realism in another country, Iran is set to put a pastor to death tomorrow because of preaching Christianity. Now, he's had a chance to convert to Islam. He was a Muslim, became a Christian, has been preaching the gospel of the Lord, has been given a chance in open court to convert back, says he will not. They're planning to put this man to death tomorrow.
And he's an Iranian, I believe.
He's an Iranian, correct.
And standing up for his belief, and it's a true martyr there is what we have, and I'm hoping that doesn't happen. We all are, and praying, but I tell you, Mike, you got to admire a guy who just hangs with his faith. It's tough to do that.
I guess Iran, they're going to put some of these ships into our water. So it's kind of silly now. You know, you're asking for trouble, and you start messing around with that stuff, it's going to escalate into some, out of control. And, you know, and I don't think the U.S. will stand for it, but that's, I don't know what's going to happen.
All right, did Michael Jackson kill Michael Jackson, or did the doctor kill Michael Jackson? This trial going underway, it appears to me that, you know what, it's another sad story of the demise of a great talent.
He had a death wish. That's what I believe. He had a death wish, and it happened.
It's hard to say, too, just what happens to a celebrity of that magnitude. Yeah. And then too, I think you get involved in your own world, and maybe there's drugs, and you don't think straight. And I don't know, Mike. It's tough. There's not many Mike Ditkas out there that just end up like they were when they were in high school. Mike, you just didn't change, but Michael had all kinds of problems, and who knows what happened. In reality,
we have to quit defending people who are weak and have to rely on drugs and other stuff. We have to quit defending them. There's no excuse for it. Oh, you can say, what, why? He was very successful. He had all the money and everything. He had a great career. Why? Why does he have to live in a state of euphoria because he's on drugs? You tell me. Now, you can defend it any way you want to. I can't defend it. So you're asking me to be sympathetic. I can't be sympathetic because he had everything in the world, and he gave it away. He gave it away because he wanted to be high. He wanted to feel good. Now, if that makes any sense to anybody, God bless you, because it makes no sense to me.
Well, maybe you're right. He just wasn't strong enough to take the pressure. I don't know. It's just hard to figure.
Well, and then you're talking, and you get into this stuff where, oh, his parents were too strict. The dad made him.
Stop it. Stop it! Somebody, stop it! Come on! If your parents were treating you good, then you should have been a better person.
And then you surround yourself with doctors that if they don't give you what you want, they're fired. You get a guy that will, right? I mean, you can always get yes men.
And I'm sure that happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was all part of it. He finally found a guy who would give him what he needed or what he wanted.
Yep. Well, Elvis had the same kind of deal going. I think he just went downhill just because he was on every pill possible. Unbelievable.
Well, I would have to say, and that's the guy's responsibility. I don't think anybody killed him. I think he has to be accountable for what he takes and what he demands.
Yeah.
That's we all lead our own lives, and you suffer consequences if you make mistakes. That's just the way it is.
That's a good point you made on Elvis, because he did the same. Yeah. I'm just saying, he did the same thing. What a talent wasted.
Yeah, it's a sad deal. There have been a lot of rock and roll stars that just can't stay in reality and waste away, and we lose a lot of great talent that way. All right, was there ever a better day in baseball, perhaps the final day of a regular season, than it was on Wednesday night? Unbelievable finish of the regular season, Mike. Unreal. What a finish.
Well, I'll tell you what, it really was. And, I mean, I guess you got, if you're a Boston fan, you got to feel bad, but, my God, what the Rays did, you got to – Cardinals did. They chased that thing down from a long way off, and they caught it. And that's pretty hard to do. And, I mean, the Giants, I mean, the Yankees had an 8-0 lead or something in the game.
Yeah, I think it's 7-0.
Yeah. Eighth inning. Unreal.
Wow. And then the Braves just needed to win one game at least to make it into the playoff game, which you thought they'd win one out of three, but that's at home. But, you know, baseball's interesting. But to lose all three, you do got to feel for the Braves fans. However, Steve, we're over it. Yeah. Go Cardinals.
Yeah. That's exactly right. We have the Cardinals' first game tomorrow. And, Mike, isn't it a lot of inertia and momentum? I wouldn't want to play Tampa Bay or St. Louis right now.
Exactly, and I wouldn't want to play Detroit either. With the land. So the Yankees don't get the shirt. I think they get a tough draw. I mean, and you're right. And right now, St. Louis and Tampa Bay coming in, they're coming in on a high. They're coming in very confident. They know they can hit the ball. Their pitching in certain areas is pretty darn good. So, hey, they're going to be very formative.
Well, it'll be fun to watch. And just like, I guess, when a team in the NFL sits around for a few weeks knowing that they're in, are you sharper resting guys when you eventually come back, or is it better to have this harried moments and urgency and say, "Woo, we just made it"?
Well, I don't think there's really a right or wrong way in that situation. I mean, you know, if you have a chance to rest guys, you think it's the right thing to do, and if you have to play your way in, it's all you have to do it, so you have no choice. So, I mean, I don't mind the resting guys. I don't think that you lose your edge for that reason at all. If you do, and you really don't understand the game. I'm sorry.
Well, it was interesting, though, to see the Phillies. They were fighting for everything as if they had to have those games. And it's probably going to pay off for them. It's going to be harder to beat the Phillies now that they went down to Atlanta and won those three games, too, because they weren't doing very well until that series.
Yeah, so they lost nine straight, I believe.
I guess they had committed, if the game means anything, we're going to play hard, and they did.
They did use a bunch of AA, AAA guys late because they wouldn't use their best relievers at the end of that game. That's why I thought Atlanta would eventually pull that out. Anyway, incredible. All right, finally, before we talk about NFL matchups after our break, the Republicans in Florida are going to move that primary, it looks like, January 31st, which means the Nevadas, the Iowas, New Hampshire, South Carolinas, they're going to go earlier than that. So now we're talking about 16 weeks until the start of primary season, and a guy like Rick Santorum, who's definitely back in the pack, says, hey, we need that extra month. That's not right.
Well, he can say all he wants, but they're just going to do it to get the attention. We're going to end up having a primary for the 2016 elections in January, But I think it's interesting. It's candidates all over the board. I tell you, Mike, it could still be just about anybody.
I agree. I don't know if that's the answer. You know, when you don't have somebody in your mind, you have a bunch of people. Chances are you don't have one guy that's going to win either. So that's basically part of the situation. And, the other party knows who they're running, and they know who their guy is, and they got a lot of money behind them. And so, but I'm just saying, there are a lot of good people. You know, this thing on Christie's interesting, but I don't think he's going to run. I kind of admire him for what he said, too, and I appreciate him now. That doesn't mean he won't run, but I don't think he will.
Well, he apparently Nancy Reagan has encouraged him. George W. Bush has been on the phone with him. They said, I'm not running. And then the New York Post reported yesterday that after this incredible swing through California and the talk with Nancy Reagan, all these other things, that he having a change of heart again.
Well, it's hard when you get pressure like that. And then the field doesn't look very strong. There is no real dominant player. Newt Gingrich, you keep an eye on him. You know, I've been thinking he couldn't win, but he's strong and he keeps coming.
You listen to him talk, he makes a lot of sense. Guys, tremendous. That's all I'm saying. But I don't think that he has, I just don't think he can carry it. I love Newt, but I don't think he can carry the country. I mean, I think there's too many people to point at him and say, well, you're this, you're that, you're that. But this guy, when he says something, listen to and it certainly makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Well, he said he would challenge Barack Obama to 7 Lincoln-Douglas debates, 3 hours, no moderator, and he even said the president could bring his teleprompter. So, I take Newt Gingrich in a debate any day. The guy is just smart. I mean, he just seems to me to really know the issues. And I tell you, Speaker of the House in the 90s, a guy's been around. Every time he speaks, I like him. And Herman Cain is surging. There's no question about it.
No,
I like him. I think he says the right. I think he's a good man who says the right things and who really believes those things. And I think he's a good man. I mean,
and he just gets right down to the nitty-gritty of the problem, and he's a much less political animal than a lot of these people. So, you know, it's refreshing to hear some of his perspectives because he goes right after the problem.
Well, wait a minute. I'm really confused, though, because some of the people that support the president suggest that if I don't, I'm racist, but yet I like Herman Cain, so now I'm really confused.
Well, they're more confused than you are, believe me. That's one reason I like Herman in the race, that because he's a living example of, you know, we're all independent individuals. It's not based on any sort of physical appearance. It's based on your heart and your soul. And there's another guy with another perspective. And so it's a good candidate to have in the race. And he's got some views that I believe he's right on and correct.
All right, we're gonna take our quick break. Mike and John will be right back with us. Stand by. We're going to talk about some of these matchups in the NFL. That will be coming up next. The all-new 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny on Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8 to the NFL we go. Good matchup, Mike. Detroit at Dallas. That should be interesting.
Well, to me, Dallas, when you look at Dallas and you look at Buffalo, you're looking at two organizations that have struggled for a long time. Finally, they're starting to get an identity, but the reason they're getting that identity, very simply, is they're playing good football. They're doing the right things. They got good coaching. They put good players into the system. And as you win in football, your confidence grows. So it's kind of nice to watch this because they're going to get more and more confident. I think I did pick Detroit to win in Dallas this week. Whether they can do that or not, I don't know. All I know is one thing. When you look at the components to make up a football team, they got a lot of them going right now.
And they're playing well and have been playing well. They were playing well last year. They just lost a lot of those close games, including, if you remember, that touchdown in the end zone at Chicago. Remember the first game of the year? And he kind of flipped the ball down, and they called, you know, you have to go through the ground, and the rule made that not a touchdown. But they had several games like that, and I thought their offense has been getting better and better. And is it Stafford? Is that the quarterback?
Well, the thing is, John, if no one knows this, but they have the longest winning streak in football, 7 games.
Really? Wow.
They won 4 games.
There you go. No, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Well, I love Jim Schwartz. I like what they're trying to do. And same thing I thought Buffalo. Buffalo's a really well-coached team. You get down 21-0 in New England, come back and win. Hey, guys, you're doing something right.
And
you are doing very right.
Buffalo plays in Cincinnati. They have a good chance there, don't they?
Buffalo will win that game. I really believe that. Cincinnati, to me, is dysfunctional. So, I hate to say that, but they, you never know what side you're getting, and most of the time you get the wrong side.
All right, got Carolina at Chicago, the rookie quarterback against that Bear defense. You got to like Chicago there, I would think.
I like him there, but I tell you what, I like Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a real deal, guys. If you saw that field last week, everybody said, well, he threw for over 400 the first 2 weeks. Mm. Now, no one else has ever done that. Last week, I don't know if you saw any of that game. It was a storm. It was raining in Quagmire. They were sliding all over the place. It was terrible. But they won a football game. He took them on the last drive, and they won the football game. So I like Cam Newton a lot. I think the Bears, they're not consistent. They got to find a way to do something right consistently. And whether it's throwing the ball, running the ball, doing something, the only thing they have really is special teams and defense. They're pretty consistent at. On the offensive side of the ball, they got to find a point of consistency.
How is the Panther defense this year? I've been listening to Cam Newton's stats, but I don't know how Carolina's defense is.
Well, one win and two losses, John, so evidently they're not that good. Ron Rivera will get them better, but I don't think they have the personnel right now on defense.
All right, to the other local teams around here, St. Louis and Indianapolis, both 0-3. They're probably not going to win a ton of games, are they, either one?
I think St. Louis has a chance to win some games. Indianapolis, I was really surprised that they, as well as they did last week against Pittsburgh. And I think Pittsburgh looked at the films and went in there and said, geez, it's not going to be too hard. Well, it got hard.
Yeah.
Any team can beat anybody. But I tell you, Indianapolis is going to have a tough road, though. I think St. Louis can win.
All right, America's team, New Orleans, at Jacksonville, Johnny.
Well, you know, we got to play every game. Mike's right about any team can beat you. And we should win that game over there.
And that team won't beat them. I mean, the Saints are very good. Don't forget, the Saints lost one football game. They lost to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Now, the shootout they had last week, come back and beat Houston the way they did, That says pretty much for a team's gut check right there.
Now, that's a good game there, Texans versus Pittsburgh. Woo. I'm going to and it's a big game for the Houston Texans because Pittsburgh's a good football team, but they need to win that game. So, and I think they can do it. It is down in Houston, so we'll see how they do and how Pittsburgh plays after that Indianapolis game.
How many weeks does Green Bay stay undefeated? Who beats them?
Well, somebody's going to beat them. There's no question about it. But if you look at Green Bay, coaching-wise, player-wise, what they're doing is pretty interesting. The matchups they get with their receivers and their tight ends are very interesting. And the quarterback is an outstanding football player. I mean, he really is an outstanding football player. So when you look at everything they have, they're going to be tough to beat, but they're going to be – somebody will beat them.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that right now, if you can't score 30 points on offense, if your team can't score 30 points on offense in the NFL, you're in trouble. And Green Bay's got that, and then they've got a good defense too. So there you go. That's a good team. So they're going to be able to play in every single game, and to beat them is going to take something. But somebody will beat them.
Well, we have homecoming here, Johnny, tomorrow. Illinois Northwestern. Can the Illini go 5-0?
Well, we can now. Northwestern's no pushover, but we can do it, and it'll be a lot of fun, Steve, a lot of excitement on campus, and I can't wait.
Well, Mike, always a pleasure. Johnny, thank you so much. I appreciate both of your times. We'll talk again, reconvene Monday, solve the problems of the world right here.
All right, guys. Take care. God bless.
Okay, thanks bye-bye. A lot, Mike.
Thank you, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. God bless both of you guys. We appreciate both of you on Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8 here on 93.5, 95.3. The new Connect FM.